Tonight is the 12th of October. We're running a day behind on our midweek service. We've had a lot going on in the Phillips household. But we've decided to go ahead and do our midweek service this evening. Just going to make some announcements. We have posted on Sermon Audio a reading of the Lies of Free Will in two readings. One through, the first one is the foreword by Brother Michael Smith in chapters 1 through 5, and then the second reading is chapters 6 through 15. And that book is now available in e-book. It's a little less, and I'm going to see if I can get Lulu to get the price down on that book. It's too high, the paperback part. I want $11.99 for it. I'm going to see if I can get it down to around, oh, maybe $8 or something, $7.99 or something like that, just to pretty much cover our cost of printing it and stuff. We are planning on having a talk show on Monday night, as usual, at 6 o'clock Central Time, 7 o'clock Eastern. And I'm going to talk to Walt Stickle and have him do a little prelude, if he would, on his talk show that he's going to be starting up on creation. And then we're going to, after he does that, then we're going to forge ahead into the book of Jude and start discussing that book. Brother Ed Henry will not be with us. He's going to be out of the country for a couple weeks. So we'll be without him for a couple weeks, and he will be sorely missed. We are still planning on having the fellowship at Joplin on the 22nd of October and in the morning, and the fellowship here in Pineville in the evening. Everybody's welcome that hears this. If you need more information, you can contact me via email at rothmillerstewart@gmail.com, or you can contact me and leave a voicemail on my landline at 417. I'm still stuck in Weatherby. 417-435-2616. Again, that's 417-435-2616. The first selection that we've been given tonight is taken out of the old school hymnal. Mark has requested 226. Mm-hmm. This is the Bride of Christ, and anyway, a lot of people try to say the Bride of Christ is not synonymous with the church, and I disagree with that. I believe that it is. Okay, Mark, you want to start that?
The Church of Christ we have today, a blessing from the Lord. He gave her to his Son to save and take her home above. The turtle dove is singing now, the winter's past and gone. Rise up, my fair one, come away, I'll take you home to stay. She was his bride before she knew she had a husband dear. And when for her his choice was made, it caused her to draw near. When she adorned with all his grace shall be exalted there. No queen with all her glory here was ever half so fair. The turtle dove is singing now, the winter's past and gone. Rise up, my fair one, come away, I'll take you home to stay.
Okay, the next one that has been selected is out of the Psalter. Rosette wants to sing page 34, Psalm 25A. Mark, you want to start that? Yeah.
To thee I lift my soul, O Lord, I trust in thee. My God, let me not be ashamed, nor foes exalt o'er me. Yea, none that wait on thee shall be ashamed at all. But those that only transgress upon the shame shall fall. Show me thy ways, O Lord, thy paths, O teach thou me. And do thou lead me in thy truth, therein my teacher be. For thou art God that dost to me salvation send. And I upon thee all the day expecting do attend. Thy tender mercies, Lord, to mind do thou recall. And loving kindness thenceward they have been through ages all. My sins of youth, my faults, do thou, Lord, forget. In loving kindness, think on me, and for thy goodness, rate.
Well, the only way God can think good thoughts towards us is through his Son, Jesus Christ. Not anything that we, the creature, have done. That's for certain. We're going to sing a couple of the songs out of the Gadsby hymnal. And we've been working through this Gadsby hymnal, enjoying the beautiful, doctrinally correct, for the most part, words taken out of this hymnal. Let's try to sing we'll try to sing 1093 to the tune of Wonderful Peace. This is how, and a man shall be a hiding place, Isaiah 52:2. It goes, starts out, da 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 da. How welcome to the tempest-tossed, amidst the storm's career, while horror spreads from coast to coast, this
No,
that's not the way it goes. How welcome to the tempest-tossed, amidst the storm's career, while horror spreads from coast to coast, in some kind of haven near. But far more welcome to the soul is that secure abode, when terrors o'er the conscience roll, the rock prepared of God, Jesus arrayed in mortal form, of whom the prophets tell, of his dear head, O water.
without a storm of awful vengeance bow. To him my only hiding place, let me for shelter fly. The storm of dread draws on apace, and who can say how nigh? In that dread moment, oh, to hide beneath his sheltering blood, 'twill Jordan's icy ways divide and land my soul with God.
I have one.
Well, let's try to sing Psalm 529, we'll try that. This is taken from the 13th chapter of Proverbs. This is sung to the tune of "Sweet Rivers of Redeeming Love Lie Just Before Mine Eyes." It goes like this. Sweet Jesus, how great is thy love, thy mercy and truth know no end. And all that are born from above shall find thee a permanent friend. Dear Savior, enlighten my eyes, that I may the wonders behold, contained in all the law of the wise, too grand and too great to be told. Oh, what a rich field of delight, how sweet and how fragrant the smell. Its beauties astonish me quite, nor am I yet able to tell the half of the glory I see in that divine treasures of grace. Sweet wonders are shown unto me when I behold Jesus' face. Dear Jesus, thy glories unfold, nor let me be wanting of sight. Oh, may I with pleasure behold thy statues and in them delight. I want to know nothing beside, here's room for my soul to expand. Nor can I be better employed in Meshech's discouraging land. Redemption's glorious work is done, the ransom shelter Zion come. The holy, wise, and just his well-beloved gave. Shall the man be cursed that Jesus came to save? Shall sin and Satan Jesus cheat, or prove the ransom incomplete? Okay. Well, tonight we're going to talk a little bit about something that I never get tired of talking about. And I hope that you never get tired of hearing about. And that is the completed work of Christ. There are many scriptures that we can go to point to the fact that Christ has already completed the work for his people. A lot of people think that they have to do something to help God out. And they can't help him out. They can only further complicate their own confusion by thinking they can help God out. God needs no help. God is independent of his creatures. He is not dependent upon those who he says are less than grasshoppers. God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them. Not imputing. 2 Corinthians 5:19. And there are many other passages. I'm going to give you a list of passages of Scripture. If you want to look some of these up in your leisure, you're welcome to do so. Colossians 1:19-20. Psalm 85:10. Jeremiah 29:11. Isaiah 1:18. Job 22:21. Philippians 2:12-13. Isaiah 26:12. I'll just read some of these. It pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell, and having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, mercy and truth are met together, righteousness and peace have kissed each other. I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil. Come now, and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Who is God like unto thee that pardoneth iniquity? Acquaint not thyself with him, and be at peace. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God. Now the Arminians like to take the first half of the book, the verse. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. But they forget the second half, which is the most important part. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Lord, thou wilt ordain peace for us, for thou also hast wrought all our works in us. Now, I want to read this to you. I've entitled this, It's Been Fixed. It's Been Fixed. Have you ever had something broken and you found that you kept putting it off. Putting it off, getting it fixed. And, you know, we all have tendencies sometimes to postpone things that we should do. I had a fella tell me one time that his motto in life was to do 2 weeks from now what he should have done yesterday. Procrastination. But listen, Jesus did not procrastinate as it relates to our salvation, because he did it before he even created us. You ever thought about that? Jesus Christ is not a procrastinator. He didn't put it off. It's been fixed. So whatever it is that you procrastinated and didn't get fixed, maybe someone else in your family, let's just say it was a lawnmower that needed fixing, and you just kept procrastinating, and finally, maybe your wife took the lawnmower in and got it fixed. And you're talking to her a couple weeks later, and you say, you know, that grass is getting high, and I haven't gotten that lawnmower fixed. And she says, it's been fixed. I already did it. I already took it to the shop, and it's been fixed. Well, that's our message to those who think they have a hand in salvation. It's been fixed by God. Now listen to this. It's been fixed. The decree in eternity before the world began was fixed. It was the divine plan. Christ was slain from the foundation of the world to bring salvation. manifested at the incarnation, completed at the resurrection, guaranteeing our glorification and an eternal home with Christ in heaven. It's been fixed. Okay? And so sometimes I think we think, well, I got to work on this salvation. But it's God who works in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. Isn't that what we're told in the Bible? It's God's, you know, it is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but God that showeth mercy. Christ is the one that hung on the cross. I haven't seen you hanging on the cross lately, Mr. Free Willer. Christ is the one that said that he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. By his stripes we are healed. He didn't say that you were wounded for my transgressions. He didn't say that you were wounded for your own transgressions. And he didn't say by someone else's stripes are you healed either. Well, there is this attitude out there that we have to have a hand in our own salvation. You know, and if we don't do something, okay, if we don't do something, we could lose it. We could lose our salvation. Even though Christ said, I give unto them eternal life, and no man can pluck them out of my hand, and no man can pluck them out of my Father's hand, we still are listening to people out there that say, oh, you can lose your salvation. You know, when Christ said he would give eternal life to his people, that's exactly what he meant. He did not say temporary life or conditional life, as long as you measure up to my expectations. No, he was very clear. This is the Father's will, which he has sent me, that all of which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting, not temporary, everlasting life. And I will raise him up at the last day. What does the Apostle Paul say about this idea that you can lose your salvation? He says, nothing can separate us from the love of God. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, death, life, angels, principalities, powers, things to present, things to come, height, depth, any other creature, nothing shall separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Have you ever thought why these people are attacking eternal life, everlasting life? Why do you think they're promoting the false doctrine of free will that attack everlasting and eternal life? Why do you think that is? Because Christ is the one that promised to give us eternal life, because they are into work salvation. That's why. They want to have a hand in their salvation. They think they got to do something to stir themselves up or whatever. They're not resting in the finished work of Christ. They're not trusting in what Christ has finished. They're not trusting in the fact that it's been fixed. They're trusting the fact they can do something to fix it. Well, I know my wife wouldn't want me to work on the mower. I know she'd rather me take it and get it fixed, because I'll really mess it up if I try to fix it. Okay? They want to add a long laundry list of works necessary to keep their salvation, including church membership, baptism by a certain person, partaking of sacraments. What did the Apostle Paul say about this? He not only said it's been fixed, but he said, he warned them, didn't he? He says, I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we are an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again. If any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. Galatians 1:6-9. Well, there's, you know, God has shown me that I have to do this. Really? For your salvation, God's shown you you have to do this? You know? We talked about how the Jewish calendar is full of all these candle lighting ceremonies and how they have to light candles at specific times of the day and how they're setting aside all these different holidays and holy days. They are into the old law service. Okay? How many things can you do to secure your salvation? That's my question to the free will. When does it stop? How far do you have to get into these works things? Do you have, is it what you eat? Is it the candles you light? Is it the clothes you wear? Is it the church you go to? By the way, church is not a place you go to. Is it the long missionary journeys you go on? Is it feeding the poor? Is it visiting the sick? Is it going to the prison houses? Is that securing your salvation? Does that in any way change the leopard's spots by doing all these works? You know, what you're actually doing is you're saying, it's not fixed yet. It's not fixed yet. I have to help God out. I have to help him fix this situation. You know, that's what happened. You know, really, have you ever thought about Lucifer? Have you ever thought about him in heaven? You know, he was one of the top dogs up there, wasn't he? And he was not satisfied with his station. He wanted to be what? Like God. Remember the scripture in Revelation, there was war in heaven, Michael and the angels fought against the dragon. And the dragon fought and his angels and prevailed not, neither was their place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. And he was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. What does it tell us in Isaiah about what happened to Lucifer? Because it's important. If we look at what happened to Lucifer, we can look at what is happening to those who think they can fix this thing. Let's just read that. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which did weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I'm going to fix this thing. That's what Lucifer said. I'm going to fix this thing. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. Have you ever heard someone talk about my ministry? My ministry? I will sit upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the earth. I will. Notice how many times Lucifer says, I will. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. And what was the response? Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. This is really how the propagation of free will began, with Satan. He said in his heart that he would ascend into heaven and that he would exalt his throne above the stars of God. And that is, in a nutshell, is what free will seeks to set forth. That man's will is independent of God, and his will has the power to fix it. He has the power to fix it. Satan didn't fix it. He didn't accomplish his objective. And neither is man going to accomplish his objective either. What did God have to say about the situation? God said, I am the Lord and there's none beside me. I have declared and have saved. I have showed when there was no strange God among you, therefore ye are my witnesses, say the Lord. I am God. Before the day was, I am. There's none that can deliver out of my hand. I will work, and who shall let it? See, the Lord has proclaimed that no one can deliver himself. Only the Lord can fix it. You can't fix it, brothers and sisters. As a small child, I was taught these lies of free will. That man had the power to invite Jesus into his heart and everything else. And you can't do anything if you're dead. Can you imagine someone lying in a coffin and then deciding that they don't want to be dead anymore? And by their decision of not liking being dead, they decide to get up out of that coffin and start living again. I know that sounds absurd, okay? But is no more absurd than those who uphold the free will of man, and they say that anyone has the ability by their own volition to cause himself to be born again. Well, hath not the potter power over the clay? That's the question. Many highly educated people have tried to explain away the ninth chapter of Romans by saying it doesn't mean that. It means that, you know, God loved Esau less than he loved Jacob. Others have tried to say that it's only referring to nations. But what does the Apostle Paul say? Apostle Paul says, Jacob have I loved, and Esau have I hated. The children not being born, not having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to free will might stand. Is that what it says? Yeah. According to election might stand. Well, tonight I want to just encourage people to realize it's been fixed. It's already fixed. And if you don't think it is, you're going to set about to try to fix it. And, you know, I want to just say one other thing, and that is that we need to flee to Christ as our refuge. He's there all the time. There's a song that says that. He was there all the time. But we still, like David, flee to him when we're in trouble. And I want to conclude this with this little thing that I just finished writing here. It's called, Master, Please Don't Tarry. Master, I plead that you would not tarry so long, for I'm very weak and really not that strong. If left to my own devices, I would perish suddenly. Master, please don't tarry. Come and rescue me. Master, please don't tarry, or I will be cast down. My sins will overtake me, and I'll be laid to the ground. Master, please don't tarry. Come to my help and stay. Close beside me in the morning, yes, at the break of day. Thank you, Master, for not waiting. You were there all the time. Even though the wayward child's eyes are often blind, you told me underneath me were your everlasting arms to hold me and sustain me and protect me from all harms. Thank you, loving Master, for letting me see your loving arms are open and always holding me. Sometimes we feel like he's left us, but he hasn't left us. He was there all the time, you know. And, you know, I remember as a child hearing a song, and it had an effect on me. I didn't fully understand it. But, and you all have heard it too. It's called, There Is a Balm in Gilead. Okay? Well, there is a balm in Gilead. But sometimes we don't remember that he's there. Okay? And I've called this discouragement. Is there not a balm in Gilead for the heart that is oppressed? Is there not a holy comforter that will give his people rest? Is there not a heavenly breeze that will come from above to cool the fevered brow of one bent so very low? Is there not a bleeding lamb that has all our sorrows took? Is there not a faithful shepherd who gathers his wayward lambs? Is there not refreshing water sent from the great I Am? Yes, there is a balm in Gilead, and heavenly breezes will blow to cool the fevered brow of the lamb that's bent so low. Yes, there is a faithful shepherd, and his refreshing waters will flow to the discouraged soul. So I hope that we will remember that we can't fix it tonight. If I were to entitle this message, I would entitle it, It's Already Been Fixed. It's already been fixed. There's nothing you can do to add to it or take away from it. It's already fixed. Do we have a final selection?
Page 11 of the Gaffney ends. How firm about the other term, how firm the foundation? Remind again this.
Okay. Thy mercy, my God, is the theme of my song, the joy of my heart and the boast of my tongue. Thy free grace alone, from the first to the last, has won my affections and bound my soul fast. Thy mercy in Jesus exempts me from hell. Its glories I'll sing and its wonders I'll tell. 'Twas Jesus, my friend, when he hung on the tree, who opened the channel of mercy for me. Without thy sweet mercy, I could not live here. Sin soon would reduce me to utter despair. But through thy free goodness, my spirits revive, and he that first made me still keeps me alive. Thy mercy is more than a match for my heart, which wonders to feel its own hardness depart. Dissolved by thy goodness, I fall to the ground, and weep to the praise of the mercy I found. The door of thy mercy stands open all day to the poor and the needy who knock by the way. No sinner shall ever be empty, sin back, who comes seeking mercy for Jesus' sake. Great Father of mercies, thy goodness I own, and the covenant love of thy crucified Son. All praise to the Spirit, whose whisper divine seals mercy and pardon and righteousness mine. Well, good Lord be with you. And we look forward to hopefully having you join us on Monday night's talk show. We will also be having services here on Sunday evening and probably Saturday evening. God bless.